first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast, show number 84. The big 8-4, ladies and gentlemen.
Indeed, yeah.
Euro 84. Anyone know where it was hosted?
It was France.
France. Yeah. Bonus points to Michael Coxon.
Michel Platini scoring 9 goals in 5 games.
Exactly. Oh, wow. Boom. Exactly right. Well, that's all I was going to say about it. So, yeah. 1984. And they won against Spain 2-0 in the final.
Yeah.
Who was the top scorer in Euro 2008 and how many goals did they get?
Euro 2008, I know it was David Villa
with four goals. Yeah.
Before that was Barros with five. Before that was Savo Mosvic and Patrick Kluivert with five. And before that it was Alan Shearer.
Milan Barros with five goals is the top scorer.
He scored five goals
for
Villa, actually.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, he didn't do anything, did he?
No, he
was at Liverpool before Villa, wasn't he?
He signed
for Liverpool.
He was alright.
Savo Mosvic likewise.
Did he score? I don't know about you.
So Emil Heskey is going to be top scorer this time around.
But players like that, there's loads of those players that do really well in a Euros or World Cup.
Get signed.
Cole Poborski.
Oleg Selenko at 94 scored 5 goals in one game for Russia, ended up joining top scorer.
But Elhadj had a decent scoring record.
And he'd already signed for Liverpool before the tournament.
Yeah. Players that just come from nowhere that you've never really heard of. Like the Russian that might be doing that, although he has been hotly tipped and everyone was talking about him before the tournament. But he's not even
He's 20 on Sunday, I think.
Ridiculous age to be. Right, anyway, that was 1984. We've got Jerome Munder with us.
Hello.
We've got Mr. Michael Coxon with us. We've got Sean Miller with us.
Hello.
And I'm Jim Staples. We are awaiting Stuart Hall. He might be here later, so we might have five around the table, but we'll see. Right, okay. First question, and this is a hard one this week. Standout performance, player or team, since our last show. So the last show we recorded was Wednesday last week.
Well, technically it was Friday. I think we've forgotten that.
Yeah,
one.
We don't talk about the podcast special.
And if you haven't heard it, don't bother listening because it's not very good. Jay, we'll come to you first. Who's been your standout performance so far?
I'm going to say Russia, actually.
Yeah.
For their performance, I think they look really good.
Whilst we're talking about Russia, we'll talk about the game.
Do you remember the game, Jim?
I've seen the highlights since.
Good.
Beat Czech Republic 4-1. Czech Republic aren't very good. And look, yesterday, they nearly blew a 2-0 against Greece. And Greece had about 5 players out.
Yeah. And they had a perfectly good goal disallowed for offside.
Offside, yeah. But Czech did give them one to make up for that. But you're going for Russia.
I'm sticking with Russia.
Let's be honest. They're
it's not been an outstanding performance throughout the Euros yet, I don't think. To be fair.
Hang on, let other people have their say in a minute.
The thing is
with the Russians as well, people are now tipping them as sort of dark horses because they're going to make a semi-final. You would have thought. They're sitting on 4 points. They've still got Greece to play, who have still got injury problems.
Yeah.
And the goalkeeper went off injured yesterday as
well. He went off injured.
Yeah, 2-0 down. Howler.
But,
so you would have thought that they would get through that. I'd be very, very surprised if they didn't. So now they're in a semi-final and... You don't know who they're going to play. They'll be playing the runner-up. If they finish top, they're playing the runner-up of Group B.
So
which could be anyone, because we're going to Group B in a minute. But I'm not too sure whether that was a really good performance or the Czech Republic are rubbish.
Just that bad.
Because they didn't do much yesterday. But then again, they've beaten Greece, so they've got 3 points and they've got a good chance of going through themselves.
Well, it's great that any team from our group can go through. Any team can still win the group as well, which, even though the Greeks do look quite poor, but who knows? In more ways than one.
All right, Mike, we'll go for your player or team.
I'm going to go for, going on to Group B, Simon Kjær and Daniel Agger for Denmark.
Fair play.
Who were brilliant.
They were
at the back.
Top draw.
They played very well. I mean,
and the guy who scored.
Crondelli.
Anyone know much about him at all? Like any background on him?
Very little on him. No. His first name's Michael.
Michael's in Denmark, isn't it?
Yeah,
there's a lot of Michaels.
I'm not Danish. I have to rule that one.
So, did you watch the game?
I did watch the game.
Because I unfortunately haven't seen that game at all.
I will say actually as well, Wesley Snyder, who was a joy to watch throughout the game, even though they lost, he is the closest I've seen in terms of style of play to Zidane.
Was it Schneider who scored the goal in the warm-up that you put on the podcast?
Yeah, that's right.
Have a look on the podcast site, it'd be one or two blocks below if you're listening to this show, and he was warming up and it was like, well, how would you describe that? The Schneider, I think, is how you'd probably describe it, wouldn't you?
Jumping back flick.
Yeah, it's like a kind of ballet.
I actually did one of those on our Tuesday game of football about 2 years ago, but I landed in the box, so it didn't count.
Oh, no.
We'll talk about our Tuesday game of football later.
We won't.
Let's go back quickly to Group A. As we've done game two and we've done game three. Let's go back and talk about game one, Poland Greece. It wasn't a great game, but I mean, everyone was looking at that group going, it's going to be the group of death. It's actually the group of life now.
Yeah.
Because there was some really good stuff played. Last night as well, I really enjoyed
that. Poland Russia. Really good game last night. Really
so,
good.
Poland Greece, the main talking point is obviously the Greek guy got sent off. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his name.
It was a ridiculous sending off.
I've just looked at it. I'm not.
What is his name?
Salpengidis. He was the goal scorer. I've just put Greek defender. but Szczesny obviously had a bit of a howler for the goal and then was sent off. But there was a lot of people in the pub we were in. Everyone was like, he's going to miss, he's going to save it, he's going to save it.
I believe I was the key one who said
It's happened so often that a goalkeeper gets sent off, the goalkeeper comes up. I remember a guy, Jason Brown, doing it for Blackburn Rovers. The Liverpool goalkeeper did it in the League Cup as well, didn't he? The one that lost his child.
Oh, Brad Jones.
Brad Jones came on and did it. You just get a feeling that it's their first touch.
The thing that made me think with the Greek goalie as well is he walked on quite slowly, he picked the ball up and moved it around a bit. You could see the Polish side wasn't very happy as he was waiting to take it. But
and obviously, you've got to put yourself in his shoes as well. Playing against 10 men and what have you. Like there's a lot of pressure on there. But Poland still dominated the game, I would say. Like Greece looked so shaky. But going into the game last night, they had three defenders missing. I think two suspended, one injured, two injured, one suspended, rather. Then the goalkeeper came off. But they're still in with a chance of the group, to be honest.
You never know what's going to happen as well.
They're still in with a chance. All right, so we'll go on to Poland-Russia, because that's the only one we haven't talked about in that group. Really enjoyed
really
it.
Really good game yesterday.
Obviously,
really
it was
both teams really going at it.
Yeah.
A great ball in for your man, who's now top scorer, three goals in the tournament.
Djigoyev.
Yeah. Great ball in for him. In just for half time, wasn't it?
Yeah,
37-38.
Had Derwin.
And then
Blaszczykowski
on his left foot swinger as well.
Yeah.
He was a left foot swinger.
He's
a
very good player. He's at Dortmund and he's being linked with a lot of big clubs. I think Real Madrid might be sniffing around.
But then him
and Lewandowski's also Dortmund, doesn't he? They link up quite well.
He got their goal in the first half, didn't
right.
he?
Yeah.
And he's the guy that he saw his dad murder his mum at age 11 years old.
Yeah. Oh, really?
And he's like a national hero. He's their captain as well.
So the commentator kept making a point that it was on his left foot, which is not his strongest. And then he kept cutting in from the left on his right foot and doing a Glenn Johnson against France when he cut in and just ballooned it right over. All right, so that's that group covered. Let's move on to Germany, Portugal. Sean, when we come across your player or team, then shout it. I'm just going to go through the group. So, Germany, Portugal.
I thought it was a terrible game.
It was atrocious, wasn't it?
For a purist, in terms of the passing and stuff, there were some quite nice little moves, but I watched it in the pub and I was half cut, but I just didn't realise the game was actually going on. It was Poland.
Portugal just didn't even want to get involved in a proper game.
And it's disappointing again to see Ronaldo at a big tournament not really turn up.
I just don't think the tactics played into his hands.
When you've got no central striker, if you're playing Helder Postiga, you might as well stick Ronaldo in the centre, as he's done for Madrid at times, done at United.
The problem is they were playing Ronaldo in that central role and it just wasn't working before. That's why you say it's annoying seeing Ronaldo at tournaments doing like he did in that game. But that was because he was playing out of position. Now he's playing where he wants to play, which I think is an important thing for Portugal. But they didn't turn it on, but they should have scored first.
Pepe.
Yeah. Well, I say should have scored first. It was unlucky. Yeah. But I think Germany they went out there. They wanted a win. They got a 1-0 win. I think you'll see Germany open up tonight a little bit against Holland, which is a game
that's going to be tasty. This is another great group because going into the last games, everyone could be on 3 points.
And it's another great group now because of that Denmark result, which you never would have thought would have happened. Denmark are suddenly sitting there going,
people are ruling out Denmark all the time. They're in the top 10 in the world. They're actually above Portugal, I think, in the latest rankings. They beat Portugal in the groups, qualifying.
Yep.
finished above them, so they're no mugs.
They're certainly a lot better team than they were a couple of years ago as well. So we've got Gomez got the goal as well, good header. And I think he was one of the favourites for Golden Boot. But now your Russian will probably be out there because, as we said, he only needs one more goal. And he's
someone told me he scored like 30 goals from midfield for Dortmund. Is that correct? Or
who?
Dzagoev. No, he's playing in Russia, but he scored a lot of goals.
Yeah, he scored a hell of a lot of goals. Okay. About 30 goals from midfield. So,
fair play. But Denmark have got a similar sort of player in Eriksson. Who he's going to be a really good
player. He was actually quite quiet in the Holland game.
I mean, how old is he? He's so young, but he's played so many games. He's played so many games, and he made his debut in the last tournament, so he's now got sort of 20 caps under his belt for Denmark. So the games tonight, just a quick preview.
He must be 22, because he won 16 at the last tournament.
Yeah, no, he was 18. Well, no, he might have been 18, and he's now...
He'd be 22, yeah.
No, no, but he might have been at the World Cup, I'm talking
about. Oh, was it the World Cup he made his debut?
I think he's 20. So tonight at 5 o'clock, we've got Denmark-Portugal, and then Holland-Germany. Holland-Germany is the game. When the draw was first made, I remember doing the first show after the draw, and we were wetting ourselves at the prospect of Holland-Germany. And now, because of the way the points are, because Holland are on 0 and Germany are on 3.
Big game for Holland.
Yeah,
Holland
it was always going to be big. That's the thing about this tournament. Every game is like of paramount importance.
Well, it's interesting. If Germany win tonight, then they'll probably go through with maximum points, I would think.
Yeah.
But other than that, it looks like nobody's going to get out of the group with maximum points.
No, because, the ones you would have picked as doing that. Yeah, no, very good.
The only
point,
teams
actually
who still can, I think, are Germany, Croatia, Ukraine. I think that's it. Oh, and Denmark.
Yeah.
So, and you wouldn't think the Danes will manage it. You wouldn't think the Croats will manage it. And Ukraine, it'd be very surprising.
But what I like as well is last night, me and my mate were watching the Poland-Russia game, and we were saying, right, what do we want the score from a neutral point of view? What score do we want to make the last group games really interesting? And we worked that out, and then we was like, yeah, but then again, if you finish first, then you're going to play maybe Germany or Holland. And he said, yeah, but Denmark are top of the group at the moment.
Yeah.
So Czech Republic would probably rather finish second to then avoid playing one of the team of finishing
second.
It's fascinating how it can all work out.
So many permutations.
I mean, especially for England, the difference between potentially playing Croatia or Italy to Spain.
Yeah. Right, let's move on. Group C, 10th of June, the first game of Spain-Italy.
I enjoyed that.
My man of the week, or what do we actually call it? Standout performance. Yeah. We've only done it
this
for about 8 months.
This is the podcast.
Yeah, so my standout performance is Mario Balotelli.
Oh.
For being clean through and just deciding to stop.
What did you think, it was pre-season or something like that?
He'd done really well to win the ball off.
Did spectacularly well.
To be fair as well, not walking off the pitch when he was racially abused throughout most of the game.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't hear that at the time.
I didn't hear it, but apparently it was 200 or 300 fans. It wasn't a small...
Yeah, it's happened a few times. Gabriel Selassie at Czech.
And
they're now
a bit UEFA for not saying that it's been investigated. So it'd be interesting. They've said it.
So they are going to investigate it out. Before, they just dismissed that, but they were going to investigate the German fans for throwing
bits of paper onto the pitch.
That's the serious shit
these
days.
Yeah.
Right, so it finished 1-1. Italy took the lead through Di Natale in about 60 minutes. Great finish,
wasn't it? And brilliant substitution. That was he came on from Mario Balotelli, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Just the way, it didn't look like, the way he opened his foot out, it just didn't look like that was the natural, it wasn't natural. It looked a bit strange, but right in the corner. I mean, they're only in the lead.
He sold Casillas there, didn't he?
Huh?
He sold Casillas there, didn't he?
Absolutely. Done.
Brilliant. Great ball and a nice little jinking run from Andrea Pirlo as well to set
Pirlo.
Out.
Pirlo has had a fantastic season because he was doing nothing. He's at Juventus now, isn't he?
Yeah.
And he's had a fantastic season there. Everyone
described him as the signing of the century.
Well, he's almost like the Italian Paul Scholes, isn't
but
he?
But he's another
changed
player.
His role, brilliant passer.
He's another player that always made
the
tournament.
He changed his role a lot earlier in the career, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
When he was about 24, he got moved back from Rucker on
attacking. But I mean, he's always been the player that they've looked at to get things moving, and he's never really stood up and shone along with the likes of, you could even say Gerrard has hogged the limelight more than him, the likes of the defensive midfielders in Germany.
People
and
like Scholes, Zabi, and Iniesta.
He should be the player that you look in that Italy team and you think, right,
he's
their man.
Star man. Yeah.
And the way he played against Spain, he could well be from this tournament.
I tell you what, from that game also, hats off to Cassano for recovering from stroke earlier in the season.
Yeah. It was heart surgery.
He had a stroke.
But there's also, we'll go on to Cassano later when we do Naughty Boys of the Week.
Well, you've got quite a few of them.
And then Fabregas equalised just 4 minutes later. And Italy, you sort of think, right, 1-0, they'll hold on to this. And the way Spain were playing,
they had no strikers.
No cutting edge.
Six midfielders.
They've taken inspiration from Scotland there. Unfortunately, Scotland were playing Iceland or someone like that, or someone worse, I think. Estonia or someone like that.
Yeah, it was someone in their group. I can't quite remember. I think it might be Norway.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's
Norway
ridiculous
through that,
when Spain can play without a striker and have Llorente and Torres on the bench.
It is a little bit strange.
And I personally would put Llorente in there. I'd take Busquets out and
Torres as well. Is Soldado in the squad?
I think he's in the squad, yeah.
Okay. All right, Torres didn't do himself many favours in terms of the starting role.
No.
Because if he come on to that, and I know he had the chip, and fair play to him for trying that as well. Yeah. It wasn't too far away.
Yeah, they weren't clear-cut chances.
Yeah, no. No, but I mean,
he didn't do very well with anything, really, when he came on. But
his body language
make the team look a lot more dangerous.
Do you think
he seems to be such a confident player?
No, his body language doesn't. No,
I think he's been exposed as a confidence player over the last couple of years. He was great at Liverpool when he was the fulcrum of their team. He was starting every week. The crowd
was playing
around
him.
Now
he's
gone to Chelsea and he's had to compete a bit.
Right, Rude Hullet's walking towards us.
Oh, he's always running.
No, that's not Rude, that's what's his name?
Fat Renny Higgins.
Right.
Jesus. Right, let's let that moment
pass for
a minute.
Great on a podcast.
Yeah, well, we'll explain it when he's out of ear range and he won't come turn around and beat us up. Yeah, that's amazing. Guy that looks exactly like a... Yeah, I'll tell you, I'd have Fat Renny Higgins.
He always hangs around the
I couldn't imagine him doing a scorpion.
Yeah, no. Sure, I'd like
Jim
to get.
I'd like to take a shower.
He's gone to the toilet. When he comes out, can you pat him, please? and that's the photo of him in the Harry Addington's zone.
He's not a listener.
I don't think he will be. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so Torres, I think, has been exposed to a confidence player. When he was at Liverpool and everyone loved him, he was doing great. As soon as he's gone to Chelsea, where he struggles, even look at last season, first off season, he scored quite a few goals for Liverpool. Signs for Chelsea, and all of a sudden, he's not getting in the team, he doesn't look happy.
His body language
says he needs someone to love him, and when he's being told by the Spain manager, Del Bosque, we're going to start with no striker, you're on the bench, even though David Villa's out.
So what do you make of that? Do you think... You can see why he's doing it. He's packing the midfield because the way they do play football and when they come central.
But I think you still need somebody there.
It's good. Barcelona kind of do a similar thing. They have like the false nine, as it's known, with Messi kind of up there, but dropping off and playing in midfield.
I mean, I think you could get away with having Llorente up front and dropping Busquets. I don't think with the quality in that team you need more than Xabi Alonso and Xavi.
Right, a quick Renny Higuita update. Sean has got the snap. Sean has got the photo. So if you listen to this, look above where you're playing it from, if you're on iTunes, and yeah, that is brilliant. Well done, Sean. Okay, so overall, do you think both teams will be happy with that?
I don't think Spain will be.
Spain will be less happy,
yes,
but
definitely. I think Italy will be.
I think
because really
it gives Italy every chance of winning the group now.
Yeah.
You think?
But then they're coming up against their bogey team in the last game of the group.
Yeah, that is it. Let's move on to Ireland Croatia. It was the first game that I actually sat down and properly watched. I'd seen all the others apart from one of them, which was Holland Denmark. But I've been in the pub. You know, when you look watching it in the pub, you don't really. The way I see it is, if you're watching it in a pub and someone said who was your man in the match, you could just say someone, and then you read the paper the next day and they got like a 5 out of 10. Like, he wasn't man of the match. I watched this one at home, and it was the first game that I've really sort of sat down, immersed myself. Ireland, Croatia.
Oh, right, yeah.
And the key thing for Ireland was obviously to stay solid until sort of 15-20 minutes in, because they haven't played tournament football for so long. Get themselves sort of back into it. 1-2 minutes, was it, or less than that?
Yeah, I don't know. Third minute.
It wasn't a particularly good header either from the lad, was it? But it sort of came back across given, and he didn't get back to it.
Yeah.
I thought Croatia were going to score two or three more without reply. So when St. Ledger got the header, massive issue was here. Did the whistle thing?
Yes,
I noticed that, and apparently
it's been happening in other games. Yeah. But that was the most clear cut.
Yeah.
When the I think it was a free kick, wasn't it, in from their left. As soon as it came over, in our house, we just assumed.
I thought
I was actually laughing because I thought they're still celebrating. It's actually a goal.
Yeah, because I wonder why even the commentators hadn't picked something, because normally a commentator would say, it's disallowed straight away. But no, I mean, it's become a cliche to say at tournaments, but Ireland's fans are fantastic.
Yeah.
They've got 30,000 people out there. You see him doing the Poznan in Poznan.
In Poznan, which was nice,
which was great. Kevin Kilbane was out with him apparently last night and sung Ice Ice Baby.
Good.
Karaoke reported on Twitter today.
Croatia fans aren't bad, though, to be fair, are they?
Orange. No.
Apart from the flare incident.
I did love as well on the island.
Just before half time.
I love on the island game, in the absence of Brazil there, when Ireland scored, the camera immediately cut to a young blonde girl in an island. Yeah. Brazil on here, let's go for the island.
Also, before, whilst we're talking about the flares, what do we make of the 3-2-1 countdown?
No, no.
It makes me want to scratch my eyes out.
Yeah, they did it in one game. I can't remember who it was, and there was a bit of a delay because I think the officials need to, UEFA officials need to kickstart the game anyway. And they started counting down, and they got to 8, and the game kicked off. But she still kept counting for some reason.
Yeah. And also they're playing the old what song is it after each goal?
I hate that sort of thing. I hate any of that being played at sporting events. It's so American. No, I'm not having that at all. Okay. But as well, actually, on Irish fans, trending on Twitter, just before the game, they interviewed a guy on ITV who said, 1-0, Richard, don't bet your mortgage on it. And he was all over Twitter. I love the fact that that sort of thing is taking off.
Yeah, no, it was nice. So Ireland, they shot themselves in the foot, didn't they?
Yeah,
with the left back. What was he doing? I don't even know where he was trying to clear it to.
He's obviously on his striker, Stephen Ward. Yeah,
he's obviously on his weaker foot because he came off his right foot. But even as an international left back, you should be able to kick on your right foot rather than placing it. But I actually thought it was offside because they're talking about first phase, second phase.
That's what I didn't understand, because when the Croatian fella, I can't remember who it was, took the initial shot, he was offside.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but there we go. But Ireland players didn't seem to complain too much today.
Because I wanted Ireland to turn up, and I thought they could cause a few surprises. They're very disciplined. I still think
they've got nothing on it. They've got no expectations for Wednesday night, for tomorrow night rather.
I think they could frustrate Spain because they play so defensively. If they can defend resolutely, there's no reason they can't get a draw.
The other thing I would say is when Croatia scored their goals for half time, it cut to the player celebrating, and as he ran past the benches, Trapattoni was 10 yards on the pitch.
That's right. Yeah,
for no reason, just because he's mental.
He's brilliant.
He is mental. He reminds me of the Pope as well, the old Pope.
The footage of him at that press conference, when he was by Munich manager, that they showed just for the Ireland game, where he just went mad.
Yes,
brilliant.
And then the third goal straight off, I think it was about 49th minute, something like that. Own goal. Yeah. It's gone down as an own goal for given as well, because he hit the post and was coming back out.
Me too.
I felt so bad for him because he's dying. Like you can see as well, it's just hit his head, and his reaction is just like, I know where that is.
Yeah.
And then did you see the footage of him with a massive white mark as well, where he's headed in the turn? His head smashed onto the line as well, so he just had a massive white mark. But there we go. So that one finished 3-1, and it will be half riding now.
But I mean, the bad thing is they can frustrate Spain because they'll play so defensively. I don't think they'll get anything out of it, but there's no reason they can't go and park the bus.
Yeah.
And Italy, they're Italy's bogey team. I remember 94, and even a couple of years ago, they beat them in a friendly.
Whilst you've said Park, I've just remembered something that I've seen this morning. The South Korean player that plays for Arsenal,
Park Soo-young,
he was dropped from the South Korea squad because they said he was trying to get out of his national service, but he's now said that he will do it. So at some point, he's got to do 2 years national service for the South Korean army.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry. Right, moving on. France v England.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
The band weren't allowed in.
I know, that's
a shame, isn't it? You don't have the Great Escape or bloody Matt.
The band have driven from Sheffield to the next. I think got there and went, leave your trumpet outside.
I feel bad for them in that sense.
Fuck off, Lurpak. It's like, what?
Well, it's Pucker Pies, isn't it, sponsoring that?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know, with the Lurpak.
Lurpak, it's not Christmas, Christ.
Lucky it wasn't Lurpak, it was 35 degrees, pitch side or something like that. I had a few mates out there, I got an email on the mornings just saying 75p a beer, 35 degrees, England everywhere, I've had worse Monday mornings. Bear in mind how grim it was in London as well, and the rest of the country. I was quite jealous, but I think we would be the happier team with a draw.
Yeah,
pragmatic. The key thing for me is what happens against Sweden on Friday night. Now.
Yeah,
is Hodgson just going to let him off the leash a little bit?
And I really hope so.
The key training session for England is happening now, because they've got one key training session. After this, they're allowed to train at the stadium for an hour tomorrow, but this is the main sort of training.
Yeah.
So this is when Hodgson's going to be giving them tactics, telling them what he wants them to do, and we might. Wouldn't surprise me if we set up the same to frustrate and to score the break.
I mean,
but having watching the game we'll talk about in a minute, I don't think we've got anything to fear.
No.
Well, there are things that concern me going forward. I mean, For a start, Joe Hart looked worse than Dracula on crosses.
He came for one in the first half, but in the second half, I think he did alright.
No, but if you look at the crosses he did take, they were still slightly on the second take. He'd sort of get it in his hands and then control it. And he's been doing that for City all season.
More often than not, he's been taking it, to be fair.
A lot of the time, though, he has flapped at crosses, and that is my only worry with him, especially playing Sweden and Ukraine, who are the only teams we're likely to come up against. Well, he will pump the ball into the box.
This is the thing. There's been a lot of stuff said by the French players, Patrice Evra, for one.
Patrice Evra, talking too much.
He said a lot, and the French press have said how negative we were and how rubbish it was. But what the England players have said, Ashley Cole came out and said, right, if they don't want to go down the wings, then we'd be stupid not to just sit back, play really central, and stop them coming at us. And that's exactly what we did, and it frustrated them.
Yeah.
Whenever they did get it to the byline, they were putting long balls over in the air. Terry and Lescott were just nodding away, which is what I said. We all watched it together. That's what I said to you guys at the time. The only way they'll get any luck from crosses is if they start drilling it. They drill one ball, and John Terry shinned it out for a throw, and it looked really like we looked in trouble. The one time they did it,
I am also concerned by our right hand side because there were a number of times that Glenn Johnson was desperately out of position, and John Terry had to mop up.
He wasn't given the support that I imagined he would be.
But I think Milner was there to play the defensive role to give Glenn Johnson support, and you're right, there was a few times, particularly in the first half, where we looked vulnerable through the French left hand side, down our right hand side. But that is because Milner had obviously been told to track his man inside. So if he was pacing up with Ribéry, when Ribéry went inside, James Milner had been told to go with him. You could tell because he was running with him, and that did leave us exposed. But he's got to do a job that he's told to do.
That's when you need the discipline of Johnson not wandering out of position, which unfortunately does too often.
But that's why he had to play Milner on the right hand side against a team like France.
If we're going to attack, we do need to put Walcott in there on the right.
I think he might well do. I think Milner might be out of the team for the next couple of games, possibly, if we need a win against Ukraine as well. But, you know, as soon as we come up against the Spain or Italy or Croatia, whoever's going to be in the quarterfinal, if we get through, you'll see Milner straight back in there, I would have thought.
Yeah, definitely. The other issue we're facing at the moment is the fitness of the two central midfielders.
They did do a lot of running, to be fair. But
it was really hard.
Something a lot of people aren't talking about, because everyone's saying, we've got Henderson, Jones, Milner, who can play that? Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's been at his best for Arsenal in the centre of midfield.
Not in that role, though.
If we're going to go a bit more attacking, I don't see why there's any reason why
he
was playing one of them.
AC Milan in that role. I don't think he's played there that often, has he?
He has more often than not for Arsenal. Yeah, he's played quite a lot there, and I think if you have got someone, say Parker's fit enough and Gerrard isn't, there's no reason you can't put Oxlade-Chamberlain in there.
Give us
a bit more dynamism.
One question I'll put to all three of you. We got a point against France playing like that. Can we win a tournament playing that sort of football?
Yeah.
I say no.
I think
Sean?
Well, Greece have shown that it can be done, but
I mean,
I don't think we
will win a tournament doing that, but I think we definitely can. We've got
playing the way we set up against France with our first choice 11 as we had. I think we could beat Spain like that.
Because if they play
the same formation, it's when we come up like Ibrahimovic might cause us
Germany or maybe even not Russia, but definitely a Germany. Where Germany will go down the wings and we'll put a
and
in
Gomez, yeah. Gomez,
exactly.
Gomez,
Gomez, Gomez, great. Great. Yeah.
And I think that's what England should do as well.
I would revert to Carroll.
But Carroll and Welbeck. And the
Carroll
wingers.
Carroll and Welbeck.
Yes, and the wingers as well.
A traditional
4-4-2.
Gerrard got all the plaudits for his man in the match role. Who would be your disappointing player from the game and your top player from the game? We'll start off with Jay. Or I'll start off with mine. I'll put mine for. Gerrard did play well. He spread some nice balls, but he also gave the ball away quite a bit as well. Yeah. I thought Danny Welbeck played really well.
Excellent. Yeah.
Because when he didn't get the ball at all. And he was getting sixes or sevens in the papers. But I really thought when he got the ball and got a chance, he did well with it. He didn't give the ball away. He did his defensive duties well. He went past his men a couple of times. Ashley Young, for me, was a major disappointment.
Well, I saw a statistic that Ashley Young, James Milner and Oxlade-Chamberlain all gave away... they misplaced more passes than they actually reached the intended man.
Which, I mean, you expect that to an extent from the wingers because passes include crosses and...
True, OK.
But, I was disappointed in Scott Parker.
Really?
I thought he didn't cover well enough for the role that he plays at the back. I thought his legs, he's clearly not fully fit.
No.
And, yeah, I mean, obviously he did as well as he could, but I didn't think he was nearly good enough, and I think it's exposed. Obviously he's got a lot of plaudits over the last 2 years at club level, but I think he's almost found his level there.
And I mean, I was watching it with my dad in the pub, and we were crying out for Jack Wilshere, if only he was fit.
Oh, God, finally.
Yeah. But
the thing with Parker as well is this distribution is pretty much terrible.
It's not good enough, yeah.
It's not good
enough. I think he's fine. Level. If you're in a three-man midfield in the holding row...
He's fine for a five-yard pass. Anything more than that...
All right, so what about who impressed you most?
Well, Welbeck impressed me a lot. Also, the centre-halves, I mean, John Terry's got a lot of stick. I'm still not a fan. I still think there's questions about him going ahead of Ferdinand, but him and Lescott were very solid at the back.
Yeah.
Actually, Cole, as usual, did his decent shift.
Chung?
As much as I defended him earlier, probably the player who impressed me least was Joe Hart. He did flap at a couple of crosses, and he probably should have done better for the goal. And I think he... he's a player with very high standards. I think he's better than he shows.
The thing with Joe Hart as well, people say he made a lot of great saves, but most of his saves he only took on the second chance. He parried a lot out and then jumped on them. And if you're playing against a different team with quicker attackers, that's going to be a problem.
I think his recovery speed is quite good. I think that's not necessarily a problem as long as he can jump on them. But he does give people chances.
I think it's shown that people say he's the best keeper in the world, but it's shown the difference between him and Buffon or Casillas.
Buffon was absolutely outstanding in that Spain-Italy game.
In terms of who impressed you?
Probably Welbeck again. Also the two centre-halves are in agreement with Coxon.
Gerrard played well as well. I think.
Yeah,
it was a good performance.
And it's not the role Gerrard plays.
Exactly. He was disciplined. I was impressed with that.
And he can find that killer ball. I mean, the one bright moment from open play in the first half was the through ball from, I believe, Ashley Young, for James Milner.
That little interchange between that was really nice.
And there was another just a quick movement of feet from Oxlade-Chamberlain.
Yeah, which gave a free kick away, I believe, didn't it? So, all right. Good work, guys. We'll move on to the last group game, which I must have your...
Of course.
I think I could probably guess.
84-year-old Andriy Shevchenko. I forgot he played. I thought he'd retired.
Where is he playing at the
moment? I have no idea.
Is he playing in Ukraine? He must be.
Yeah, I haven't researched that, but he rolled back the years in that game.
He hadn't scored for a while either. 55th minute and 62nd minute. Yeah. Both cracking headers.
Yeah, fantastic.
Ibrahimovic with the opening goal as well.
Yeah.
The moment of the game for me, the Ibrahimovic volley, which just hit the goalkeeper.
Oh. Yeah.
He absolutely piled into that, didn't he?
There's a lot of discontentment in the Swedish camp at
the moment.
There is,
I read this morning.
The manager's called the whole team a bunch of cowards.
Cowards, that was it.
For that performance. And Ibrahimovic, he's fuming about Marcus Rosenberg during the warm down. Taking a bit of time out to wave to his wife in the crowd.
I think there's a couple of players that was doing that, like talking to their wife. He was like, what are you doing? Like, sort it out, warm it down.
Any news on Ibrahimovic's injury? Because he was heavily strapped up.
He'll be playing the next game.
Okay.
His issue, I think, he doesn't like playing with Rosenberg up front. He prefers to play with Johan Elmander.
Had a broken toe at the end of the season.
He came on
and he should have scored probably. Amanda, to be fair.
The chance at the end that he plays over.
I think
his own man was putting him off more than the goalkeeper.
His own man
to the left hand side, didn't he? But you can't knock Shevchenko's class on those goals. It was nice scenes as well at the end, him and Voronin. They're actually looking at themselves on the big screen, cheering up the crowd a little bit. One thing I noted from that game, apart from the volley that nearly knocked the goalkeeper out, was how much injury time the referee was decided to play. Because he put like 3 minutes up, and he played about five in the end, and I was just like, what is he doing here?
Can I just say quickly, David Silva is not actually with the Spain camp.
and Harry Redknapp.
That was a look, Jim.
I just pointed at a man that
looked like Harry Redknapp.
To be fair, if someone in a pub just shouted at you, he looks like Harry Redknapp, you wouldn't like it either, would you? I'm quite glad he didn't hit me.
You're about as unsubtle as England's tactics on that.
It's lookalike day, isn't it, Henry?
Definitely. He serves all the time, David Silva. I've never noticed that.
Mike, any thoughts on Ukraine, Sweden? Because you were at the bar for while
I was delighted to see Shevchenko get a couple of goals because his reputation took such a kicking at Chelsea, and then when he went back to Milan, and now he's sort of faded back into obscurity in Ukraine.
Do you know where he plays? He plays
for Dynamo Kiev.
So
that was his home stadium then.
My enduring memory of him is
the 2003 Champions League final, skinning, I think it was Zambrotta, left back for Juventus, or it might have been Birindelli. But okay, knocking the ball one side of him, running off the pitch and around him, and it was such electric pace. And he was such a great striker,
yeah, awesome,
back in his pump. And it's nice to see him, hopefully, if he can get a few more goals, ideally not against England, maybe against France, that'd be nice.
One thing would be a great end to his career. One thing I did think was strange is that the next two Ukraine group games against France and then us are both in Donetsk. I thought that they would. I mean, if the tournament was in England, we'd play all our games.
Well, that's
at
Wembley, what you think about to Euro 96, every game was at Wembley. Yeah. I think that's quite nice. I'd rather that happen if. Because they're actually talking today about England potentially bidding for Euro 2020, and we're seeking out with Platini whether it's actually worth us doing it.
Yeah.
Because exactly. Turkey are the only team that formally bid for it, but they're going to be hosting the Olympics probably that year.
Yeah.
So they probably wouldn't have both. And the alternatives are Wales, Ireland, Scotland, which would be a great little battle for who gets to host it.
Yeah.
And Georgia. Is a bit... It's a bit obscure, but they're a big country, and I think there's more and more money coming into that country as well. I think it's oil or gas.
They can't. So, I don't think they'll pick another tournament on the basis of that, would they? Although it's UEFA,
picking a country on the basis of fact they're rich from oil.
Yeah, ridiculous.
The one thing I think, let's have a little word on the host nations. There's been a lot of trouble in. Everyone's thinking the trouble will be in the Ukraine.
184 arrests last night in.
Turns out it's Poland where it's all kicking off, isn't it?
Yeah. Warsaw, 184 arrests.
The only one incident of trouble that I've heard about in Donetsk was an England fan was set upon by a few Russians.
Who's claimed to be in the Russian mafia?
Yeah, because that's what the Russian mafia would do. We are the Russian mafia and then beat someone. But the footage of the Russian fans beating up the stewards, that's all
shameful,
wasn't
it?
It's horrible.
And I really hope they investigate it. And I mean, you're thinking back to Charleroi back in 2000, England were threatened with being kicked out of the tournament.
That's right.
If any more problems happen, fair play, we went out of the group stage anyway.
Yeah.
But are they going to say the same to the Russians? Are they going to say, if this keeps going on, then we're going to strongly advise that you don't host the 2018 World Cup? I doubt it.
No. Yeah, my only issue with Poland is I've been to a few games in Poland and I've never had a good view in a stadium because there's always been a pole in front of me.
Oh, Jim. Huh? That's bad.
What? That's good, no?
Bad even by your standards.
Oh, come on.
Dear, oh dear.
Alright, come on. Alright, moving on, guys. Moving on. Anyone want to talk about anything non-Euro 2012?
Well, we can Naughty go on boys. To yeah. Naughty Boys of the Week, Antonio Cassano.
Okay, I don't
think he's a proper lad.
In his autobiography, he claimed that while he was playing for Real Madrid, he lived in a hotel and he just had a man that worked for the hotel who would either bring him a plate of cakes or a woman every night.
Well, sometimes both.
Well, he might be a lad, but he's also come up with some slightly odious comments.
Oh, really?
He was asked by the Italian press. The Italian press said, apparently there's a couple of gay players in the Italy squad. What do you think about this? He's given quite a long-winded answer, which he's subsequently defending, but he said... The crux of it was, I hope not.
Right.
And there were a few other statements. It was quite a garbled, probably quite mistranslated statement, but he's come out and said, look, I abhor homophobia. The reason I said it was because I was hoping to deflect the interest onto me rather than put any focus. And you read the wording of what was said, and you can almost see where it's coming from, but ultimately it does look like he's just a bit of a homophobic bird. So, it's not ideal, and as great it is that he's recovered from heart surgery and strokes and all this, it's not what you want to see. And you wonder if...
Recovered from strokes?
If he was asked... Do you think there should be black players in the Italy squad? And he said no.
Similar.
There'd be fury. Yeah. There'd be absolute fury across Europe. So
I hope he keeps his mouth shut, to be honest.
Yeah.
For
I don't think he's particularly bright. He's probably...
Well, he thinks a lot of himself.
He does, yeah, obviously.
All right, have you got any more, Sean?
Yep, Danny Guthrie. Danny Guthrie.
Been released by Newcastle as well.
Has been released by Newcastle. We'll move on to that later as well. He got in trouble at his wedding, or at least members of his family did. Staff at the venue where his wedding was hosted described him and his family as peasants with money. apparently they started chucking about the lobster thermidor, which they were served. There was about four or five fights. The police were called three times.
They tried to break into the venue.
Someone broke. Yeah, exactly.
And yeah, it's it all kicks off a little
Sounds
bit.
Like a wedding.
Yeah. Was Rene Higuita there?
Yeah, he's scorpion kicks off.
Was Harry lobster kick.
We're just like, oi, Harry, were you there?
The lobster kick, I like that. I like that. I've got one thing. Nicholas Benton's got a range of jewellery out.
Oh,
yep.
Really?
Yep. It's got a website and all sorts. And also, Steaua Bucharest in Romania. They have announced that they are going to phase out all foreign players of their team.
Yeah, I read this. And they're going to have Gigi Becali.
Yeah, he's just mental, isn't he?
Insane.
He was so livid at how bad their season was that he's decided to pay up the contracts of two or three of their top foreign stars. And from now on, he's going to do it sort of slowly, phase it in, but he wants only Romanian players.
Well, you say that, but look at Athletic Bilbao.
I think it's based on it's one of the Bucharest sides. I don't know if it was that way. It may have been Dinamo Bucharest, who in the late 80s, I believe, won the European Championship.
Oh, that was Steaua who won
the Steaua, European Cup, with just Romanian players. Yeah.
And also, one note from me, Neil Dant and Cameron Jerome have set up a new social media phenomenon.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, yeah.
Spitter 2. I don't know what Spitter 1 was like, but it's called it's called Spitter 2. And it's like a Twitter, but you record voice memos and put them onto a website.
Wonderful, because everyone likes to hear the sound of their own voice recorded, don't they? Well, I think I never listen back to them.
Because it's rubbish?
Maybe, yeah.
So Spitter 2, get on that. See if you want to get on that. Yeah. I don't just Neil Dance. Alright, Cameron, how you doing? Yeah, alright, Neil. Yeah. Yeah, nah. What's in the fridge? Nah,
not a lot. Neil Dance will start playing a few of his songs.
Oh, Neil, do you remember Spitter 1? That was great.
Remember the days. Right, Michael Cox, have you got a Rangers financial update for us?
I do have a bit, yes.
Because stuff's happened today, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, it was yesterday, yes. Rangers.
Just quickly for listeners that might have tuned in for the first time. Listen again, please. We tasked Michael a couple of weeks ago with finding out a little bit more about the Rangers situation and telling us exactly what's happened and why it's happened.
Well, basically,
and there's been breaking news today, funnily enough, as well, hasn't there?
Yeah, basically what's happened is Craig White bought the club last year. They were in financial trouble. He came in saying he was a lifelong Rangers fan, had all this money. He bought them by offsetting the club's debt against season ticket sales. So not with money that he actually had.
Okay.
Subsequently, he didn't have nearly as much money as he said he did. So the club fell into administration, as we all saw at the end of last season.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They've been put into liquidation yesterday. So the company CBA that is Glasgow Rangers is no more.
And now the fate of the actual club and the history is now decided upon by the other clubs.
It lies in the hands of the other SPL clubs. And there's two ways of looking at it. One is when other clubs like Livingston went into administration, were relegated to the bottom tier. But Glasgow Rangers, obviously, are one of the two biggest clubs in Scotland.
But is it just the SPL clubs that vote?
Yeah. SPL,
because obviously the clubs in the lower leagues, if they could vote, they'd vote straight down.
It's like in England,
revenue.
The Premier League and the Football League are different. And in Scotland, the Scottish Premier League and the Scottish First, Second, Third Divisions are different. So the Premier League clubs, on one hand, they all hate Rangers and want them to do as badly as possible, but on the other hand, unless you're talking about the Edinburgh Derby or maybe the Dundee Derby, if both Dundee teams are up there, very few games will sell out unless the Old Firm come into town.
Yeah.
So if you get rid of one of those, not only will Celtic monopolise the league, but you're going to do a lot of damage to your ticket sales. So that's going to be an interesting one. They are going to reform as a new company. If they don't get in the SPL, then it's going to be, I think, Dunfermline will survive relegation from last season.
Yeah,
okay.
There'll be a knock-on effect of teams going up that should have been relegated. The SFL then have to decide whether they want Rangers to be the team that takes the place in the third division that will come open, or whether or not it will go to one of the Highland League teams like Spartans,
who've
been trying to get in there for years. And therefore, I mean, I would be very surprised if they didn't, because obviously it'd be a great revenue boost for the teams.
Yeah.
Because Rangers, they'd have 3 years of playing in the lower leagues. They're going to sell out stadiums. Their fan base is not going to diminish. They still get 50,000 fans a week. So that's going to be great for the money for lower in Scotland. So it could ultimately be a good thing. More likely...
you tell a Rangers fan that?
More likely than not, it could be an absolutely terrible thing.
But the amount they owe in debt is
it's ridiculous. And hopefully the new owners, it's Charles Green, who I think used to own Sheffield United.
He was, on the board of directors.
Looking to come in. And you would hope... I mean, I'm no Rangers fan, but they're a great football institution. It is the equivalent down here of Man United or Liverpool going bust, or Barcelona or Real Madrid going bust, or Juventus or AC Milan going bust. So it would be a shame, but it really is just a massive problem.
And so when is the vote? Do we know?
It's not been announced when the vote's going to be yet.
It's only officially announced today that CBA has been rejected.
Yeah, so it will be very soon.
All right, well, keep us updated on that. So maybe next week if there's any news, if not the week after that. Right, something that we've been meaning to do for a couple of weeks since the end of the season, but we've now finally got time for, although we will keep it quite brief because we're on 45 minutes already. The release lists have all come out from the Premier League teams. There is a shed load of players available. So what I've asked everyone to do is to come up with a team from the free transfers available. We'll kick off with a listener's 11.
Okay.
From Sean.
Sent in to us by Timo Bevan via our Facebook page. He's managed to crowbar five strikers into his starting lineup. I like that. Yeah. That's a kind of attacking ambition that England.
What's he playing? 4-3-3.
4-3-3. In goal, Thomas Kuzak. Jose Bosinga at right back. Danny Gabaldon and Carlos Cuellar. To centre halves, and then Fabio Aurelio at left back. In midfield, he's gone with Owen Hargreaves in the holding position, and then
holding his leg or his back.
I'm not quite sure, but on either flank, he's got Salomon Kalou and James McFadden. So
he's got Heskey in his team. He's got Heskey and Owen.
Throwback to 2001, Michael Owen and Emil Heskey, ably assisted by DJ Drogba. So thanks for that, Tim. That's a great starting lineup.
Jay?
I've gone for
many changes?
Not many. I've gone for Craig Gordon in goal, Bosinga at right back, Lady King and Cuellar at centre back, Aurelio at left back, Kalou, Murphy. I like the look of Buzaki at QPR, so I've stuck him in. Owen and Drogba as well. Have I missed one?
Peter Lovenkratz.
Lovenkratz as well.
Left wing.
At left wing, yeah.
Sean?
Yep. I've also got subs in mind, but I'll spare you those. I've gone for Jussi Jaskalainen in goal. Centre half pairing of incredibly injury prone here, Ledley King and Brian Nelson.
Yes. Has Nelson been injury prone, or is he just not got?
He's just old. Basically. Anyway, then Bosinga at right back, Fabio Aurelio left back. In midfield, I've got Akos Buzaki providing the creative spark, and then being marshalled by Danny Guthrie and Mohamed Diami to break things up and supply him with the ball. Then up front, I have front three of spearheaded by Didier Drogba. On either side of him, I have Salomon Kalou and Louis Sahar.
Oh, nice.
Mike, what have you gone for? You don't have to give us the whole team if there's not any changes.
Craig Gordon in goals.
Goals.
It's an Northern thing. We've had this debate actually in the office. It's unfortunately a colloquial thing that makes you sound like Andy Townsend. But Craig Gordon in goal. Bazingwa, King, Nelson and Aurelio at the back.
Yep.
Nice. Hargreaves and Danny Murphy in the centre of midfield with Momo Diam. And then Kalou, Drogba, and where was the other one I went for on this list? Louis Sahar.
Yeah. So I definitely go with
I do want Hargreaves in there so we can get another fitness video.
out of those, I
think Owen in there so we can get another media pack.
Maybe, yeah.
But I think Owen's an interesting one because it'd be interesting to see where he goes. And there's not been much talk of it. You know, as soon as the Euros finishes, it's just going to be all of these players are going to be linked with about 30 different clubs each. Yeah. Or the ones that you would have thought could still do a job in the Premier League, at least. Like Danny Murphy, I think, will be a few more. Andy Johnson.
Murphy's getting off the new contract at Fulham. He's just technically released because his contract's expired.
Okay. The likes of Saha, Ledley King, Ryan Nelson. Ledley King, would he not stay at Spurs?
Ledley King said if he doesn't get a playing contract, he'd like to stay on and do coaching or something.
Yes, Galina will probably get a deal somewhere in the Premier League.
He's apparently on the verge of joining West Ham because Rob Green is off to QPR.
I thought Al Munya was going to West Ham as well because he was there on loan for a while.
Heskey,
as a Villa fan, what do you think of Heskey? Where do you think he can
play?
Because he came out and said that he's still got a job to play for a Premier League team, or still got a lot to give.
Not in the Premier League team.
The best thing he could do would be go back to Leicester, where the fans still love him.
If you're like a Reading or one of these teams coming up,
maybe.
Do you not look at Emil Heskey's out of contract, Michael Owen's out. Let's get the dream team.
I've heard a lot of Southampton fans say they'd love Michael Owen.
That wouldn't be a bad one, especially working off the big man they've got up in Lambert as well.
Yeah. Just signed Jay Rodriguez.
That's the only thing,
Buzacchi as well. I think Buzacchi
is a quality player.
Yeah,
I think QPR made a mistake
there. If they actually released him, I think that's a mistake. I thought he was.
I think QPR actually has released 11 footballers here, so you could have a QPR released 11.
That's what Stuart's 11 would have been, without a shadow of a doubt. Mm. Right, one little bit of housekeeping. We had our predictions last week. I was the only one. I went for an England win 2-1.
I'm really annoyed because I wasn't here last week, but I'm in a prediction game where I predicted 1-1 England France. So I've missed out.
But we did say when you're not here, you don't get a go. So I went for 2-1 England. Sean went for 0-0. Unlucky, mate. Dan went for 2-0 France. And Jay and Stu were bang on with 1-1. So they get 2 points each, I believe,
because
it's now 2 points for a correct one, isn't it?
Yeah,
so,
it is.
Right, we'll have your predictions. I'm going to go England 3, Sweden 1. Sean.
England 2, Sweden 0.
Jay.
England 2, Sweden 0.
It's fine. And Mr. Coxon.
I was going to go for England 3, Sweden 1, but I can't do that, seeing as we've had already some repetition.
Yeah, go for a draw.
So I'll go for England 3, Sweden 0.
Oh, I don't like the fact that we're all predicting
a win.
Oh, no.
It's all right. Me neither.
It's all right. Stu's gone 2-0 for you.
Because that makes it sound like we're all like, yeah, we're going to win. In reality, I think a lot of us, we've got realistic expectations.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Realistic that we're going to get to the final and win it.
Just like the
James
advert.
Milner hat trick.
All right, go on to www.footballpodcast.co.uk. There's loads of blogs on there from last week. We've also got the latest show from the Football Fans Down Under guys.
Yep. Don't listen to the Friday night show because it's.
Yeah, we'll mention that quickly.
Only on it for like 3 minutes.
We did a podcast extra, so that is up there as well. But as we thought it might turn into, it was a very drunken night and there's a lot of slurry words.
I threw up on my trousers.
Your legs. We found Sean at the bar about 11:30. All right, Sean, I've thrown up on my legs. What do you mean? I've thrown up all of my legs. Do they smell? Do my legs smell? I've put Febreze on them. Where did you get Febreze from? In a pub, which is what I want to know.
No idea. I ordered a pint of it.
Yeah, lovely. Did you put the blog on today that you were the video that you were looking at earlier?
Yeah, I put a couple of blogs on today. Yeah.
Okay, so there's some new stuff on there as well. I haven't even checked the website, so maybe you should. Contact us, banter@footballpodcast.co.uk. Facebook, www.facebook.com/thefootballpodcast. All complaints?
Simon Head.
You can follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. One last thing from us as well. We are all playing an app at the moment. If you've got an iPhone,
if you've got an iPhone,
it's just called Score, isn't it, Jay?
Yes,
it's called Score app. Download it, it's 69p. But it's well worth 69p. It's a brilliant game. And we'll explain more on next week's show, because we'll all get to play it a little bit, and then we'll explain
more.
Well,
next week we might have a couple of shows, mightn't we, seeing as England play a couple of times?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We've just chatted absolute shit for 51 minutes. I don't know if anyone else wants to hear us next week. But
an extra 10
anyway, for now, we'll say goodbye.
Bye.
Cheers, guys.